Welcome to Charlie Foxtrot, a Stargate Universe podcast. I'm Boom.
And I'm Cetra.
And it's not so much a Charlie Foxtrot this episode, is it, for a little bit?
No, it's a really awesome montage.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a clusterfuck of human emotions, for sure, but it's not...
Yeah, and motivations. There's definitely some problems going on here.
Yeah, well, what I like a lot about this episode is that it's all setting up what's going to happen in the next episode, character motivation-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it achieves nothing, really, plot-wise.
Absolutely nothing.
But at the same time, it gives us a lot of great information about who our main characters are and what they're doing. And
makes me hate Young a lot.
Yeah, I mean, when Young is on Destiny, he's like creeper stalking Rush because he doesn't trust him.
Right.
And when Young is on Earth, he's like creeper stalking his wife and or Telford because he doesn't trust them either.
You know what Young's reminds me a little bit of? Did you ever see Black Mirror?
No. What is that?
It's this great BBC sci-fi series. It's kind of like The Twilight Zone, where it's like each episode is its own contained story. But, you know, it has actually good writers doing most of them.
Okay.
And has incredible actors doing it. There's this great episode, I think it's called
The Entire History of You.
It stars the guy who played Johnny Quid from Rock and Roller.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, it's that caliber of good.
Yeah.
And the whole point of it is, like, he constantly... You have chips in your head where you can rewatch things that happen to you. And so he keeps going over and over all these things between his wife and, like, her ex-boyfriend and starts reading way too much into everything.
Oh.
And, like, picking it apart little bit by little bit. And, like, you can tell that Young is doing the same thing. Like, even when he's not creeper stalking Rush, because there's a later scene where you see him watching him and Rush talking. So he can pick apart how Rush is... reactions are.
Oh, and I didn't catch that
he was... it's the second time they and it makes me think of that episode, because basically, actually, Young just makes me think about how paranoia manifests itself all the time, especially in the next episode. But in the episode of Black Mirror, basically there was nothing going on, and he caused the rift in his marriage that he was trying to stop by constantly redissecting it. And I'm like, Young, that's so Young.
Yep. You mean exactly what Young is doing? I mean, you can almost... I found myself, as I was taking notes on this episode, kind of condensing people's storylines into bigger chunks, just because they cut around so much, like, even more than normal.
Right. This is very dense. Even having watched it twice, I'm not even sure I'm going to remember everything that happened in it.
I mean, just within the first montage, we have civilian boot camp with them doing running and push-ups and that kind of thing.
Right.
Chloe doing yoga. Park hooking up with a random dude.
She totally blinks later.
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah, she's amazing. and
Eli working on shit.
Yeah, Eli working on secret stuff. Young creeper spying on Rush. Spencer taking his last pill of whatever drugs he's been taking, and Ray doing her little sketch thing, and that's in like
and
2 minutes.
Franklin watching his plants.
Yes. See, but you can't even catch it all.
Right. Well, that's... I pay attention to Franklin now, because in the second season, it's very clear to me that Franklin is the manifestation of Rush's self-doubt. Because, like, his doubt in his own abilities. Because he didn't think whatever was going to happen to Franklin was going to happen to him. And he blames himself for it.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. And when you have the AI manifesting as his wife and as Franklin.
Yeah, clearly.
Franklin always does it when he's like, are you sure your calculations are right? Are you sure? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I pay particular attention to Franklin.
And that's fair. Like, it's obvious... Is it next episode that terrible things happen to him? Yes, because of reasons.
That we'll have to talk about next episode.
Yeah.
My most big note for that whole montage, other than I love I don't really like the song The Worst Day Than Yesterday, but I think it's a perfect song to sum up how awful it's been for them.
Is it the same song in the opening and closing montage? Because that's the song that's in the closing. Okay.
Yes. Other than I did write a note that I want Lisa Park's bra. It looks very pretty.
Yeah, she apparently brought cute clothes to Destiny.
She only brought one outfit. And that if that's the bra she has to go running around planet-sided, I feel very bad for her. I'll let you direct, since you kind of did by chunks.
Well, yeah, so we get our first... Have we gotten, like, regular Telford point of view on Earth stuff before?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, because I thought we were only seeing Earth when they were going through to Earth. And instead we see Telford going to go have wine and dinner with Young's wife, Emily.
Yeah.
Which would be fine, and I love the idea that he's supporting her, and it would make me totally think he's not an awful person.
Right.
Except that he's like, we've known each other for 12 minutes. I think we're friends. I need to tell you things about your husband.
What I wrote is, he needs to listen to Dan Savage's Savage Love.
Like, butt the fuck out, asshole.
Yeah. Like, my favorite thing about Savage, and I think it's yours too, is he always is like, it is never your position to tell someone about a cheating incident. You don't know what's going on between them. You don't know if they have an open relationship. You don't know if it's the kind where you're allowed to cheat, but you can't say, like, and that if the spouse finds out, they get upset, even though they know it's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and more likely, what Dan always interprets when someone's like, should I tell my, you know, this guy that I don't really like, but we used to be friends, his really hot wife that he's been cheating?
Right.
What you read through that is you want to bone her.
Exactly.
You have ulterior motives here, and you're just setting yourself up to look like even more of an asshole.
Telford, if you were real, I would send you to that podcast.
Yep. Yep. He's, God, what a dick.
Right.
And we don't know what he says to her.
No. Well, he does suggest, I know there's another scene where he says that, no, Emily says, I know you've been sleeping with TJ, even though we haven't seen that, and I think they would show that.
Yeah, we haven't seen it, and we've seen that even in Young's, like, dream, the one time she kind of pushed him away, making it clear that he at least knows she would try to resist.
Yeah. She has no interest in pursuing that relationship unless they get accidentally transported 2,000 years into the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think once you're stranded on a planet, like, there's definitely, I don't know, there's much more positive benefits to being with the guy who's in charge of everything, right? Like,
right. I don't think that's what TJ was thinking, but I think it's more just like all the things that would keep him apart, like, you know, the possibility of them getting home, because she knows that's not a relationship that would continue on Earth.
Yeah, for sure.
You'd strip away all that, though. I don't know why you would get rid of Varro. He's amazing.
Well, yeah.
He better have died randomly, is what I'm saying in that episode.
No, I thought... Anyway, we're a whole season ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
So, back on the ship, we get more follow-up, and Park does completely blow off her boy toy from the previous night, so he must not have been very good.
Yeah, or she's not looking for anything more than that.
Yeah, exactly. Which we'll see when she talks to TJ a little bit.
Oh, yeah, when she says, I read, I totally heard I breed on the first time.
Oh!
I was like, whoa, way to be straight. No, you said read. You said read.
Yeah, no, she looks at this moment and I'm like, what you are thinking is, oh, I go and have sex whenever I can. And what you're telling TJ is, I am quiet and demure and I read books.
Right. But you did miss right before that, the people running around. And
yeah, like civilian boot camp running, Eli blowing it off, and then Volker also like being like, this is bullshit.
It kind of shows how little power the military actually does have over the science team. Because like Scott doesn't even notice that Volker's like, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean...
And Eli's unconvincing.
Here's the thing.
I pulled a thing.
Yeah. There are different kinds of people on the ship, right?
Right.
There are people that are just falling in line because they just want guidance.
Right.
And then there are the main characters who have their own plans and their own reasons for doing things.
Right.
Clearly, that the science team mostly falls into the has their own plans category.
I was going to say, Volker and Franklin are not main characters, but they certainly have that mentality.
They're much
for sure.
more main characters than the, like, 50-something woman jogging along behind Scott, whose
there
name,
you go.
Name
you're right.
we don't know, right? Like, a That's lot true. Of those civilians, we never yeah. even are given names for.
That's true. That's true.
So, TJ does try to talk to Spencer.
Yeah.
It's sad that she doesn't get through to him.
You can't when you have withdrawal like that. Like, he...
No. He's already nuts. He's already, like, he's right. losing it.
And... He's past the point of return.
Yeah.
And there could have been something they could have done for him on Earth. But they're tired, they're hungry, they're not paying attention, he has no friends.
Well, and I think a huge part of it is just that all the military is being expected to really fall in line and right. you know, be tough because they have to stay strong in the face of all these civilians and keep morale up and stuff.
Right.
And obviously, Young and Greer both get easily frustrated with Spencer, and Young has already had, like, two different confrontations with him.
Yes. Poor in things that he shouldn't
yeah.
have done.
Yeah, badly handled confrontations.
Things that made it worse.
He then has the worst one yet in this episode later
right.
on.
Right. Again, we're skipping ahead, but yes.
Yeah.
I wish that TJ didn't seem so fake when she's talking to Spencer.
Yeah, but she clearly has some problems talking to everybody, like, and it's yeah. something that she gets better at, right? But this yeah. is not what she's trained for.
Right. Her sincerity that you're used to seeing is not here at all this episode, and I think that's a great acting choice by Elena Huffman.
Yeah.
I hope that was her choice.
I hope
I'm insulting
so.
Her.
Yeah. yeah. Eli has this conversation with Rush where he's like, I can't do what you want.
Right.
For reasons which I can't tell you about. And I'm like, wait. Right. It basically, Rush's face is like, okay, perfectly confirming that Eli is doing something that I don't know about, which is what I thought all along.
Right. No, this is the first hint to what Rush is going to decide. And next episode, it really was an opportunity for him. It's not like he was totally
for sure.
Machiavellianly doing it. But this is the first tipping point for him to go, I need to take care of Young somehow.
Yeah. Like... For whatever reason, Young has got Eli doing things that I don't know about, and I need Eli, so...
Isn't that funny how Eli is all about open communication to Young and not to Rush?
Yeah,
that's
well,
how poorly Rush managed that relationship.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rush blew up at him and was like, sometimes grown-ups lie. And Eli, you know...
So he's following that advice.
So maybe...
Backfired.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think Eli's doing it to follow that advice. I think Eli's
right.
doing it more like, well, fine, like, that means I can't trust you, so
right.
I shouldn't have to be honest with you either.
Yeah. I mean, I can see how Eli had that interpretation, but that would not have been my interpretation of that.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Young wasn't going to find out eventually, but anyway.
Young just blithely assigns TJ to... do psych evals on the entire crew.
Even though I'm betting Ray actually has better qualifications for that.
Yes, but Young likes TJ and Young doesn't like Ray.
Yeah. I also think unfairly, like, I think there's lots of reasons for him not to like Rush. I think the extreme that he takes it to is a little unwarranted. But Ray, I don't understand his dislike for her other than she's an HR lady.
She's, yeah, she's somebody with authority of a different kind than him.
Right.
It's almost like this, it's almost like the stereotypical, like, military chafing against civilian oversight thing.
Right.
Which doesn't make sense for Young's character, who has been, at least when he's not out of his mind with exhaustion or stress, more
right.
political and, you know, calm and balanced about these things.
Right. Especially with the civilians.
But, yeah.
He Ugh. Just doesn't like Ray, and I don't know. I just don't get his mindset right now, other than he must just be exhausted as shit. And he's just not thinking
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and worried a huge portion of this episode and the next episode, he's actually not worried about what
about
he's doing. or about the ship. He's worried about his life back home.
Right. Which he would have been fixing had he not been on the ship.
Yeah.
We don't know if that would be true or not, but we're going to assume that.
Yeah. So we have our TJ's first little conversation with somebody, which is talking to Franklin, and we find out that he's the one in charge of hydroponics.
Yeah. Even though he's just an engineer.
Yeah, apparently. And he basically just goes on this classic Franklin list of, like, here's everything that's wrong. Here's why everything is terrible. How dare you even ask me if I'm okay?
Right.
Of course everything is awful.
I just like how TJ's like, so you're fine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Franklin is just the kind he needs. I think he needs that release.
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely somebody that just wants to bitch and complain. And TJ tries to stay positive, but, like, obviously she's going through plenty of other stuff that makes it hard for her to...
Yeah, well, I'm not going to play who's got it worse off game, but, like, it's a psych eval, and he's supposed to be honest about his opinion, so he just decided, fuck it, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Then we find out that Rush was not lying about the ship exploding last episode.
Yeah.
Which should make Young feel better.
Well, and that's Eli's secret plan that he's not supposed to be telling Rush about, right?
Right.
Just confirming Rush's results, which Rush probably wouldn't mind him doing. Well, I take that back. Rush hates wasting time, and that's technically redoing something that he already knows in his head, so he wouldn't like it. But
right. But I think that he would have let it happen.
Yeah.
I think he would have fought it a little bit, but let it happen.
Instead, it builds this further, disconnect between him and Young. And
right. Time would have fixed had those timelines existed.
Yeah, it's true. But then everyone would be dead.
Yeah, true. So then, Scott.
Yeah, so Young tells Scott to go to Earth and... Or go use the stones. And we can start that whenever we want and basically just talk through his whole thing. I think I've bitched about it some already.
Yeah, let's just talk about Scott's whole thing. I mean, before we get into the bitching about the problematic aspects of it, which I know you want to do.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting for a character that's painted as generally likable by everybody, including Rush. You get back to Earth and you find out he doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have family. Yeah. Well, we know that he didn't have any family, but, and he had 4 letters, and I'm betting 3 of them were Bill's.
Yeah. I mean, and when they're asking him where he wants to go, one, he resisted when Young was like, it's your turn to use the stones. He's like, no, that's fine.
But for some reason, when they said Ray's going, he's like, oh, okay, I'll go. So I'm trying to figure out what that connection is.
No, I think it was more that, well, okay, she's also in a leadership position. Right. So Scott doesn't have to feel like he's abandoning his position.
Right. Right.
Secondly, I think it was more that Young basically ordered him to go do it.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, they ask him where he wants to go, and he's like, I guess I have a friend that was at Edwards. So Matt goes, he gets a letter.
Yeah.
He goes to see his ex-girlfriend thing. Sees a kid inside the house and ends up, like, lurking outside the house for 4 hours.
Right.
Which is weird.
No wonder the kid doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he approaches her on a dark street.
Yeah.
As someone she doesn't recognize.
Yeah, hops out of a car, approaches a girl on a dark street, and is like, hey, I know you.
Right.
Must be charming enough to get invited into the house.
Right.
But then, like...
Starts asking probing questions.
Yeah, he does kind of the nice thing, which is like, you know, I want to get this information for Matt. Oh my gosh, is this kid Matt's kid? Like, but then he gets judgy about her job.
Right.
Which I understand is being a stripper. But fuck him. He didn't care enough to follow up with her even once a year. To follow up with her at all after she supposedly got an abortion?
That's the truth. I mean, he wasn't even there with her to go get the abortion.
And, I mean, even if
the relationship is over, you have, like...
Yeah, even if she said... Yeah, even if she said, no, I'm going to go get it taken care of, like, don't you then say, hey, can I help pay for it? Or, right. hey, do you need to come stay with me for a couple of days while you recover from it? Or do you need rides? Right. Or do you need any of that? Like, and I understand he was 16 and right. he was going through a lot of shit.
Right.
And obviously, like, she tried to take care of him and protect him right. by hiding it all. But how fucking dare he get all uppity
at her.
At her.
I don't know what her letter said. What did her letter say?
Her letter apparently just said that she needed to talk to him.
Uh-huh. So maybe she decided it's time to tell him about the kid, you think?
Or... Yeah.
But, I mean, it's obvious to me if she didn't want to... Like, the kid is her decision, right? At a certain point, if she felt she didn't want to communicate that to him, that's her prerogative.
Yeah.
And he has no say over that kid's life.
Oh, none.
That's how that works.
Yeah, I mean, at this point...
If the mom makes that decision.
Yeah, at this point, what she would have already done, depending on what state she's in, but I know if they were in Colorado, which they might have been because Cheyenne Mountain, I don't know.
Well, no, because Edwards is in California.
Oh, you're right.
So Edwards somehow, even though we know that the communication stones are in Colorado, he thought he was going to fly to California for a couple hours and then back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways,
so specifically Colorado. What happens is that woman decides she is going to have this baby, whether it's going up for adoption or whatever. Right. And in some states, like, if the dad's not in the picture, it's just the woman's right to decide all of that.
Right.
In other states, they have to make a good faith effort to try and get a hold of him,
mm-hmm.
which if he was in basic training or had moved or whatever, like, mm-hmm. maybe they couldn't get a hold of him or maybe he ignored those letters or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, this kid is 8 years old. Like, they gave up. He gave up all rights he had to this kid's life or her life a long time ago.
Right. Well, I mean, one of the reasons she might not have done it, too, is it can still be, even if you're the same age, I don't know how it is in Colorado, but in some states it can still be considered statutory rape.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
So you actually, to sue for parental rights on someone, even if you don't like them that much, or you still like them even though you're broken up or blah, 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 could still cause them a world of legal problems.
Well, that's true.
So she might have been smart enough to know that. I mean, she did want to be a lawyer.
Yeah. That's true.
Poor self-esteem, though.
Yeah, either way, like, he comes back in and he gives her this huge present in basically the form of going, Matt just wants to give you his Air Force check. Like, he's fine for right now.
Yeah.
Only then he makes it conditional
on... He puts stipulations on.
Like, then you can do all this stuff that this person who is not Matt...
I think is morally correct.
...or knows you, like... Right. You can quit your job and you can do this. And she, good on her for being like, no.
Right.
Fuck him. I don't need help with that kind of stipulation on it.
Right.
It just, I don't know. It makes
you can't give gifts with stipulations. You just, it's not, I mean, he's young. He doesn't know that. 24-year-olds are still stupid.
Yeah. But it's him making this, like, moral judgment on her.
Yeah, but he was raised Catholic. But then again, he wouldn't have slept with someone when he was 16 when they're unmarried.
Well, shouldn't have, yeah.
But that still doesn't stop a lot of religious people from having specific opinions about what is right and wrong.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I think he's... And then he goes back to Destiny and spends the next day, like, moping.
I really liked when he has that conversation with Chloe, though. Like, because there's this, when she's having her psych eval with TJ.
Yeah.
It's very clear to me it's not the most romantic reason why she's staying with him. She's like, I'm lonely and it's comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, you have a kid. And she's already, like, her mind is already going, like, I am in too deep.
Yeah. Well, and I actually, Chloe reacts more fairly and with balance and, you know, reasonable decision making. About Matt having a kid than Matt does.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he's not moping and feeling sorry for himself. Maybe he's trying to readjust. Maybe he did listen to ex-girlfriend and realize.
Well,
and maybe he's just readjusting how he felt and how he reacted and feeling a little bit shitty about it.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, like you said, he's gone from believing that he has no one. Right. He was ready to be on, you know, to walk through that gate when they dial the, wherever they dialed from Icarus, and maybe never see Earth again.
Right.
And now he has a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and she's, I hate to be thinking this, but also, oh, look, his ex-girlfriend who had his baby isn't with anyone right now.
Mm.
So maybe he's, you know, remembering that and seeing their potential and that kind of thing.
He's the kind of person who would, even if he doesn't really feel anything romantic for a person, would marry someone because he thought it was the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
And we actually kind of see that in the second season with the fake marriage dream, where he keeps, like, constantly wrestling with himself. Like, does he really want to get married to Chloe, or is he just doing it because it's the right thing to do? And Chloe even says it in his hallucination.
I forgot about that episode. I love that episode.
I just want that poster to the movie they saw with, like, the attack plants and them, like, holding hands. I forgot what the movie was called, but I just, like, I want that poster. So, I mean, that's all I really have to say for Matt's story. I mean, other than Eli just being silly.
Yeah, the conversation between Matt and Eli, I think in some ways, Eli is almost the tone that Matt needed, right? Of just like, hey, you're a dad! Oh, is that not good? Okay.
See, they made it sound like Eli was blundering there, but I always, I know all people aren't the same, but it's been my experience when someone is going through a traumatic thought process, or if I'm going through it, sometimes I just want someone to acknowledge that it sucks. I don't want them to make me feel better. I don't want them to try and give me fix-its. I just want them to go, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Here's what sucks about it. And then I can go, yes, I'm not the only one who realizes that's what sucks about it.
Yeah. And Eli's really good at that, right?
Yeah.
He's good at being that, like, well, this is shit.
Right.
Guess
but
we'll
Scott
move on.
Doesn't appreciate it.
Nah, well, he is smiling a little at the end of the at the end of that conversation.
How could you not smile with Eli around? Unless you're at Rush.
Well,
and you realize that your right hand man is your spy.
Rush smiles on the inside when Eli's around. So
the chair room gets discovered.
Yeah, they find the chair room. And
I like that they call it a dentist office. That was, like, my favorite line.
Curious, like, we found the dentist office. And it was actually hilarious because Cal was just talking to me about an episode of SG-1.
Yeah.
She and another friend are rewatching that series.
Uh-huh.
Where this whole thing happened to, you know, O'Neill's brain got information downloaded into it and he nearly died. And I'm like, that's the thing! Young was screaming about the thing and Rush was telling him it wouldn't do that. And Young was like, no, no touchy.
But isn't it funny that Rush tells Young about the chair? It's almost like he is trying to be more open with his communication to Young.
Well, yeah, so there's this weird balance where Rush sees the chair over Kino.
Yeah.
Immediately goes, no one move, no one touch it, I'll be right there.
Right, which is totally opposite of what Young accuses him.
Yeah, which is totally opposite of then what he says to Young and what Young accuses him of.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, which is, you know, Young's like, rah, 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 you just want somebody to sit in it. You know, you don't think it's dangerous.
Right.
And
then he fights again his position, but that's because Young makes him contrary. There's something about Young that anytime Young says something that puts him on the defensive, he just exacerbates it. It's like it's an innate need in him to say, fuck you, Young, anytime he can. Only when Young provokes is really what I feel at this point.
I think that Young is reacting in a very, what Rush would see as an emotional and not logical way to this situation,
right?
Rush has already processed all the other information.
Right.
Including what happened to O'Neill a million years ago and whatever. And he has decided that probably, you know, this system won't do the same thing that that system did. And that it's worth the risk.
Right.
In classic Rush way, right? Like, even if it did kill one person, we'd learn from that and the amount of information we could gain and the control we could gain over this ship is worth it.
And what's hilarious is in 3 episodes, Rush sits in it without even having any of that data.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he builds the firewalls by that point, but...
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Because next episode, the first thing Camille does when she's in power is delegates responsibility for Rush's team to Rush. Right. And he proceeds to screw things up.
Well, we'll talk about that. I'm not convinced he purposely manipulated Franklin into that. But, what was I going to say? Still, like, I don't think it's that Rush is afraid to sit in the chair. I just think that his opinion is that we need to do it at some point and we're going to study it, but you're just being obstinate before we even get a chance. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what he's bridling against.
Also, here's Rush with the analysis, right?
Right.
If there's a possibility that it's going to fry someone's brain, right, who is the least advantageous person to have it fry their brain? Oh, Rush.
Right. Like, right?
He is the one most capable of analyzing the data should something go wrong. He's the one most capable of reversing or fixing that issue should something go wrong.
And boy, does Young realize that in, shit, what's the episode right before? Space. Yep. When Eli's like, we could do that if Rush was still alive.
Yup, what do you know?
But Rush died on a planet due to circumstances that I am very suspicious of.
Yeah.
I think all of that's going into it. And I love that the show, like, you can't just analyze episode by episode. You really have to take it with, like, a 3-4 episode arc to be like, that's what's going on between these.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
Even if you doubt Rush now, you can go, but wait, in 3 episodes, he sits in the chair with very little more protection than Franklin did.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they had the firewalls, but he has no guarantee that those were going to work. Because, and he almost dies in there, too.
Yeah, because he has no choice, and he does what needs to be done.
Right.
And, and Young flat out told him, like, I'm not stopping you, go do it. And Rush is like, fine, this needs to happen, and I'm the only person you'll let do it, I'll do it.
Right. But that's later.
Anyway,
but
what else
is
happening?
But he is fidgeting. Sorry, I just to stay on this just a little bit. Yeah. Like, when he's talking to Young, he's fidgeting more than he ever fidgets before. And I almost wonder if it's then he's like, he's starting to realize that he does need to put a coup in motion. Like, that's his second, like, shit, I need to get power back in some way.
Because
killing the ship.
I think he was really hoping that he would go, here's what this thing does. You know, open doors, open information.
Yeah.
Here's what we found. Here's what it does. Here's the information it probably has in it.
Yeah. Like, but Young's too far down the rabbit hole of paranoia.
He wanted, you know, Young's been giving people approval to press all sorts of buttons and open all sorts of doors.
And fuck a lot of shit up.
all through this. And when it's kind of the opposite thing, right? Rush feels the need to talk back to Young. Young feels the need to say no to Rush.
Right. Though I guess I just translate his fidgeting as either, like, him making a decision or him really trying not to snap at Young.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely trying to be the most positive and upbeat. I love that Rush goes, well, this is a much older, earlier version of a similar device. And Eli's like, oh, yeah, because the 1.0 version is always the least buggy.
I do. This is the one instance where I appreciate Eli chiming in. Like, that. I mean, I was always annoyed with him when he's like, that's not what that ancient says. And I'm like, but you don't really know.
Yeah.
In this point, I'm like, no, he's right, Rush. And you know it. You thought you could get away with it, but Eli's not going to let you ever do that. And you know it.
Yeah, so if do we want to follow the rest of the Rush trying to convince Young to let people sit in the chair plot line?
If we do, you're going to have to direct it because mine's all my notes are pretty chronological within the episode, so I can't, like, go look for each one.
Okay, well, I mean, basically the rest of that situation is then, like, 12 scenes later, Rush goes,
right,
oh, look at this, we found a planet just like Icarus.
Oh, yeah.
But to get to it, we would need the code to be able to fly the ship there. And Young is still like, sounds great. You've got a year. Do it without sitting in the chair. and then that leads to Eli investigating that data and finding out that Rush made it up.
Right. Oh, wait, we're missing... Sorry, there's that one scene where Volker puts it all out there about the politics of the chair. And
oh.
So like, they're, because the science team is bitching that no one's getting in the chair, too. That's also why I don't think Rush totally manipulated anybody to get in.
Oh, yeah.
Because Brody and Volker and Eli are standing around. Well, I'm not sure if Eli's there or not, but they're standing around and they're talking. They're like, why can't we fucking do this? And Volker goes, because it's politics. What Young wants to do is put Rush in a position where it's his fault if it doesn't work. And yeah, you can see Rush, like, listening and going, yep, he's right.
Well, and then Park, in her interview with TJ, besides saying that she reads to relieve stress, she starts out being, like, just super excited about what they found out about the chair and the planet. Like,
right.
And if we can't figure out enough, you know, a way to work around it, Colonel Young will have to give us access to the chair. Like,
right.
She's willing to do it. Greer says, hell, if it means getting people home, I'll sit in the chair, right? Like,
right. I mean, Greer has no hope of sitting in that chair and being successful. Well, but, oh, yeah.
You don't know. He's very stable mentally.
Well, it's not about mental stability at the same, like, because, well, maybe. I think he'd, but he'd have to, and he is smart and everything, but he has to have to understand the ancient technology well enough to be able to escape it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, probably.
And he doesn't have any of that background. Which is why one of the science team members needed to do it.
Yeah.
And it can't be Rush because he's too valuable. But, and the other ones are valuable too, but they're the ones with the likeliest chance
to understand it.
Yeah. I do like TJ's psych evaluation with Rush. Everything's fine.
Yep. She's like, I'm trying to, and he's like, yep, yep, it's all great, bye.
There's something funny about when Rush plants that data. You can see Brody giving him a suspicious look.
Yeah.
And then bolstering, it's like, he really is, like, they're not overt about it, and that's why I love this show, but Brody is Rush's right-hand man. He goes, you know he's suspicious, and he goes, no, it's good data, apparently.
Yeah, no.
He backs him up,
he's
even though
so,
he knows.
And it's weird, because the first time through the show, I didn't see a lot of that detail, and right. So the whole, like, Brody,
it's so dense.
Brody founds a religion that believes in Rush coming back to save them was like, this is so weird and dumb.
No, but it's so true.
But it makes so much sense. Like,
yeah.
He just actually trusts Rush. He trusts that he's a good person. I don't know how he saw that and decided that that was true,
mm-hmm.
but that's what he believes. And so,
well, it's the same thing with Earth. Somehow he knows exactly what Rush is doing on Earth.
Yep. And he's willing to just be there and, you know, quietly make it happen and make sure everything's okay.
It's like, Brody is the real unsung hero. Like, I know I said this in the episode before, but I swear to God, if it was Eli stuck in the stasis unit in season 2 and not Brody, it would have been solved.
Yeah.
Brody would have figured it out. I think Brody is smarter than everyone.
Yep. And he's, and just because he doesn't show off about it doesn't mean that it's not true.
I think that's why Rush likes him so much.
Very probably.
I did control search Rush, so now I can figure this out.
Okay.
Young is like, crack the damn code, right?
Yep.
And to me, I feel like Rush is, this is the first time he's actually being honest with Young. And Young is not even paying attention to it.
Yeah, Young is just so, he's leading on autopilot.
Right.
He's not trying to listen to anybody about what they want or what they think is a good idea. He's just trying to make a decision and move on quickly,
right. So
that he can proceed with jumping back to Earth 12 different times to beat up Telford and storm in on his wife and whatever else.
Right. But I do love that this whole chair situation, like, he's so proud of himself for planning that data that he actually goes and sits down to eat at the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And he's just chilling like a villain, which is a poor thing to say about Rush right now because everyone's distracted about being a villain. But where did those glasses come from?
Oh, well, they're his glasses. They were broken when he came through the gate in the first episode.
Oh, and someone fixed them for him?
I believe we've seen him fiddling with them, like rewinding wire around to make a second earpiece.
Isn't it interesting to think that maybe he wasn't doing as good a job as he could do because he couldn't read anything very well?
Well, yeah, because we saw him using the glasses, like holding them with his hand to read his novel in darkness.
Yeah. So, God, this show is so good with its details.
Yeah.
It deserved so much more.
So finally, in Rush's, you know, millions of priorities, fix my glasses so I can read properly has come to the top.
Because he thinks he fixed the Young situation. He does. He thought it was a total morale issue.
Yep.
And that once morale was better with Young in particular, he would be able to finally do what he needed to do.
Yep.
And hopefully find an Icarus planet before he gets beaten up.
Yeah, well, and also, the thing is, he did a really smart thing, which is he set it quite a long way away.
Yeah.
Because well before a year, within a couple of months, they're going to have a routine, and people aren't necessarily going to be focused on that year distance anymore. They're going to just be living.
Right.
But putting it that close, is that's an amount of time that everybody can believe they can survive, right?
Right.
It's not like you're saying 20 years and there are some of the older scientists going, like, you know, my life is basically over by then.
Right.
Anyway, no, he was so proud of himself. He thought he was so clever. Yeah. And he would have been...
Eli ruined it.
Well, yeah, because Eli, again, Eli, without thinking about it, without overall contemplating, or because he doesn't trust Rush anymore, is suddenly like...
I don't care that Eli is smarter than Rush, but his intellectual capacity to understand the context of a situation is so immature and young, and that's why he's not going to be, like, I guess what I wanted to say is, like, he's definitely smarter than Rush when Rush was 24 or 22, whatever, but he still has 40 years to catch up to actually get, like, it's not going to take him that 40 years to get there, but he still has a long time to even catch up to where Rush is now.
Yeah, and to try and finish my previous thought, it's this no, it's fine, I got distracted and my computer exploded. So I think that it's Eli again seeing totally open information and totally
right,
like everyone knowing the truth, quote unquote, as being beneficial, when in this case it's really definitely not.
But he changes his mind about that later, because the next episode he willfully hides the information of Rush hiding the gun.
Yeah.
So this is a turning point episode for him.
And I think, in all honesty, probably seeing the impact that this decision had on morale is a part of that.
Yeah.
Because Eli may not always think, you know, be able to see the use in moral gray areas, but he can see what it does to people.
Right. And I think even though he suspects the hell out of Young at the end of the next episode, I think he realizes it is best to keep this secret. So I think he's finally kind of...
Well, he does this weird thing where he... tells Young that it was Rush, and then Young and Rush go to the planet, and oops, Rush doesn't come back.
Right.
And then he just buries it all down the memory hole. Like, gonna pretend that I didn't just give Rush an, or Young an excuse to kill Rush and let him do it, and also not gonna say that I suspect that Young just killed Rush.
He must feel really shitty about that. But that's the next episode.
Yeah. Here we are again. I
guess my last note for the chair story is, you know, Young does go, like, I'm not fucking stopping you. And I just want to, like, shake him. I'm like, how do you not get this by now? It's not that Rush is against sitting in the chair. He doesn't want to lose to you.
Yeah. Young doesn't get it.
Right. He just doesn't.
Young does not get how to communicate with Rush yet. And Rush still is trying to feel his way around how to communicate with Young. Like, they are just a bad pair.
They are. Because when Young was trying to communicate and be and change the relationship, Rush was having his mental breakdown. And then when the vice versa thing happens, basically Young's having his mental breakdown about his wife.
Yeah. Even though they're both complex people with stuff going on in their own personal lives.
Right.
And they're trying to think, you know, strategically about protecting all these people on this ship that they are jointly responsible for. They cannot recognize that in one another.
Yeah, and sometimes that just happens between people. There is one person in my life that I do kill in one of my stories. That's the only way I could figure out how to do it. It's like, anything, I just don't trust him. I just don't.
Yeah, and that's anything the worst. Anything he
says. Yeah. All right, next story.
Well, I mean, we can talk about Camille going home. I don't know how important it is, except to me.
I mean, it's important in a lot of sociocultural ways. There's some stuff I want to talk about with Sharon.
I mean, I love a variety of things about this. One, I love that this is the first person who has some weird lady show up at their door and say, hey, I'm your significant other, and they actually confirm it.
Right.
She asks, is it really you? And Camille has an immediate response that just proves it.
Right. Yeah, no, I was like, you basically verbatim noted what my note said, which is, you know, like, finally someone actually treats this situation seriously.
Yeah. And I also love that the first thing then we see Camille doing is going and taking a shower and putting on her own clothes. Like, I want to smell like me. I want to be dressed like me.
Right.
And that's so important.
It is. It really, really is.
Like, as compared to Young or Scott, who just, like, hop into somebody's body and wander around in uniform for the next day and then go home.
Right. And you could, what I like about this, though, is, like, Rey reveling it and being her, because she doesn't have to look at herself, right?
Yeah.
And it's very obvious that they've had this 12-year relationship, and Sharon still feels all those feelings that she has. But every now and then, the camera will drift to her face, and she'll have, like, an extra drink of wine with a concerned look on her face. And you can tell that there is something a little bit bothering her about this other body. And we find out that that's definitely true in the second season.
Yeah,
and the idea
sure.
that she Ray's not coming home and she'll have to always see her in these different bodies really bothers her.
Yeah.
But for now, it's still just new to be able to finally talk to her wife for once.
Exactly.
Able to push a lot of that down with a little bit of wine.
Yeah, and I like that, right? I like everything about it. They're so wonderful.
What I really like about Ray is, you know, you have that shower where it's, like, totally all about her and making her feel good.
Yeah.
And then later on, she has that shower when she's, like, crying because she realizes she can't get home because Rush lied.
Yeah. I mean, what a... I keep double-checking. So, in the credits, Ming-Na is always listed, like, almost last as, like, mm-hmm. a featuring. Is she not in every episode?
She wasn't in, she wasn't in Time.
Okay. So maybe it would... Like, she's just a powerhouse in terms of acting and character.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they use her really, really well like this, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And we get all this information during just this little montage of her being home. We find out that there's obviously issues with her parents.
Right.
Either they don't approve of her or she doesn't talk to them.
Right.
I
love that she breaks down with the boat.
Yeah. Because that's the kind of thing, when you're in a weird situation like that.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that hits you. It's like, how could I not remember this thing? How could I have forgotten that I needed, like, this?
I even think it's deeper than that. Like, obviously that picture has significance for them because that's their future goal for their lives together. But that boat probably signifies escape to her.
Well,
And by forgetting that boat, it's like she's already resigned herself to knowing that she's never going to come back home. And it's like almost a willful decision to put it back in when she gets back.
Yeah.
Like, there is hope. I'm going to figure this out.
And I love her little attempts to kind of regain parts of that normality, right? Like drawing a picture and, anyway, I love Camille Ray. She's the best.
Right. I just like that they have such a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
But we did skip the IOA talking to her right before.
Oh, yeah. The IOA guy basically is like, we have people working on stuff more. Like, we need you. And she's like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Like, we already knew Rush was against it. Now Young's against it, too, because you guys pushed it. Like,
right. But you also see the seed of her taking power starting to form in her mind for when Division comes along.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he suggests that she start her own camp. And you can see her going, well, why are we being controlled by the scientists and the military?
Yeah.
So, that's interesting.
We talked about Rush basically avoiding his psyche eval.
I really think he is fine, though. I don't really... To me, I'm like, it's almost like he's not avoiding it. He's just like, TJ, I'm totally cool.
Yeah,
I'm
he's
where
fine.
I want to be.
Yeah, he's fine. Greer's is really weird.
It feels out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you want to talk to me about how fucked up my life is? I feel like partially it's his automatic reaction, but at the same time, we've seen him be much more friendly with TJ than that.
Yeah, he's friends with TJ.
So I don't know why he suddenly decides, like, no, I'm going to treat you like the enemy, and I'm going to just, like, try to make you as uncomfortable as possible right. by talking about how shitty my life has been.
Because, well, I mean, this is ordered by the man he admires more than anyone, Young.
Yeah.
Administered by his friend, TJ, who they have established are friends.
I mean, in a lot of ways, he could have just gone, no, look, I'm fine. It sucks, but I'm doing what I've got to do, and I'm here.
I think it's just the case of the writer accidentally falling into the trap that we fell into when we were trying to understand Greer's character.
Yeah.
Because this is what the stereotype of Greer's character would do.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's what Greer would do.
Yeah.
But they needed to start the seeds. So the great thing about Stargate Universe, though, is that they never just spring a plot line on you. So later on, when he's having hallucinations because of the tick, right? A lot of it, he, like, starts seeing his father and shit, right?
That's true. Well, and then there's the claustrophobia episode.
Sorry, maybe that was it. That was the episode.
A later episode where he gets buried underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the same way that they didn't want to just have Spencer happen, like, Spencer just has his death in episode 10, they gave him 10 episodes of very small scenes of him, freaking out progressively more. I felt that's what they did with Greer, is they're like, okay, we'll lay out the hint that he had a really shitty childhood, and that way it doesn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
A couple episodes down the line. And I like that. I just don't like how they executed it.
Yeah, I mean, he does say some important things, which are like, I'm the only person on this ship that can do what I do in the way I do it.
Right.
And I'm important because of that.
He calls out a lot of antagonism that I don't really see towards him, though.
Yeah.
Like, Ray is the only one. Ray and Franklin are the only two that really work against him.
Yeah. If it had been Ray or Franklin or Telford.
Right.
And maybe, in all reality, maybe they intended it to be Ray, and this scene got scripted with him talking to Ray, because that would be how he would talk to Ray. And then
that
they switched it over to TJ to give her more of a role.
Right.
Because Ray was going home during this episode.
Maybe they merged two episodes together. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's just like Out of the Rain from Torchwood. That episode was supposed to be a Gwen episode. And because they changed like this major plot line that took away all of Yanto-centric episodes. It was supposed to be Yanto that died, not Owen. So all of the Yanto-centric episodes went away. So they're like, oh, here, Gareth David Jones, David Lloyd, you can have Out of the Rain. But it feels so weird and out of character, because it's literally Gwen's lines coming out of him. And Jack is really cold to him, because Jack would be cold to Gwen because she just got married and he's in a relationship with Yanto. So the whole time I'm just like, why is Jack being such a dick to his boyfriend?
I remember really disliking that episode.
Oh, it's an awful episode. Even if it was a Gwen episode, it would be awful. But
okay.
It's even more worse. It's even worser.
So there we go. New headcanon. That was how Greer would have reacted to Ray.
Yes.
Not TJ. Problem
Agreed.
Solved.
Agreed.
We already talked about Young going utterly batshit on Spencer, who was already screaming at Franklin.
Right.
And I think we skipped the like third civilian boot camp scene where like
Franklin, oh, with Spencer.
Spencer pushes Franklin so hard that he's like throwing up. Which is not really effective.
Well, it's telling though. It's Spencer is trying to survive, and the way he survived before is probably through the discipline of the military, which is probably why he bumps head against everyone else, because they're not being as totally disciplined as he wants them to be.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And then now he's in his element, trying to make up for the feelings withdrawal is giving him, and this civilian isn't being as strong as he is, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he flips out.
Well, and that's, when you're a drill sergeant, like, if these were new recruits at Army boot camp, that's
right.
How you would treat one that was lagging behind that badly.
That wouldn't
He's
work
just,
on me.
Well, that's why you're not in the military. But
I was in marching
he,
band, and that was bad enough.
Yeah, he clearly is not tempering his approach at all.
No.
For these not actually being military recruits, which is
like
part
Scott
of,
knows how to.
Part, even though he's going to be out of the picture, part of why we have the problems we do coming down the road.
Yeah, but with the whole Young thing, like, I mean, I don't really feel like Spencer deserved to die.
Well, no.
But it was his release. But
yeah, he made that choice for himself.
But I feel like Young exacerbated it because, like, he doesn't de-escalate the situation.
Oh,
like,
no.
You're supposed to get de-escalation training when you're an officer.
Nope. Young is just made of complete and utter bullshit.
Right. He lashes out at Franklin. I like how we're avoiding Young's story.
I mean, here's Young's story, right? He, on Destiny, his mind is not there. He's snapping at people. He's angry at people. He's assigning TJ to something. She's not, like, she's doing fine, but it's not necessarily anything she signed up for.
It's not something she should do. Ray should do it. She's HR.
Oh, yeah, or they should be doing it in a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Back on Earth, he goes back once and storms in to find Telford with his wife and makes all these assumptions.
Right.
Well,
wait, we skip because it's Scott told
him
about it.
Oh, yeah, because Scott told him about
Scott
a dream.
Scott also needs to listen to Dad Savage.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Scott's... Because here's the thing. What made Scott assume, it must be a real thing that Telford has a memory with Emily...
Right.
Young, in Telford's body, had a very similar memory with Emily.
Right.
So why wouldn't he just assume, it must be crossed wires.
Right.
Let it go.
Right. Or it could have just literally been a dream. Like, maybe he happened to see that picture as he walked away.
Yeah.
And had his own paranoid dream about Telford. Who knows? There's a million different things that could be. But Young goes, nope, obviously Telford is cheating with my wife.
I will say, because we had discussed it before, Emily says Telford never pretended to be Everett.
Right.
So, at least we know that. We don't know, we know that he's not going to see her with totally good intentions,
but
Young is
said,
just such an asshole.
I agree, and she said that they never slept together, and I'm going to believe that. I really am. Because I think Emily has a lot stronger will and is more interested in the marriage working than Young ever was.
Well, and at the very least, if she's never had an affair, she gets a much better divorce settlement.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she was thinking that far ahead. I think she didn't. I think she doesn't know what Telford's intentions were, and she needed support, and Telford was there. And if you pay in the second season, once Telford is de-brainwashed, supposedly, Young and him are really good friends again, so they had to have been good friends before, so she knows him.
Yeah. I mean, and at least, it's true, I can absolutely see, like, wanting support, wanting to be able to talk to somebody about what's happening.
Right, and Telford, like, knows exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And can at least, I mean, it's unfortunate that Telford also is deciding to harp on the TJ affair, but...
Right, but
whatever.
Emily can't know what his ulterior motivations are.
So
she's blameless.
What I love that Telford does in that scene is that he steps away, is on the phone, obviously calling into headquarters and being like,
he's so rational, I love it.
Cut the communication stones right now.
Right.
And it's just done. Which, of course, then leads to Young pretending to go back again and someone being like, Dr. Volker? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's me. And
yeah, then, you know what that told me? Is that they don't tell their codes. Remember how I questioned whether or not they actually were who they said they were when they went through?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I don't think Volker told Young his codes. Volker wouldn't do that. Volker is the kind of person who would see that as a breach of privacy, as we've established for every episode. He doesn't like that kind of shit.
Yeah. Ugh.
Right.
Anyway,
so
then he actually punches Telford.
Right. Undeservedly again. Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's
hard to say, but
I think Telford always deserves a punch in the face. I think not for the reasons Young thinks.
I have to talk about this has nothing to do with Telford or Young, but my favorite part is the first time he goes and they get disconnected, he startles off the couch.
Yeah.
I was like, the guy he switched bodies with, that he's just like, oh, I'm bored. And just decided to take a nap. in the communication stones room. Like, he doesn't go walk around and see well, what's and going
that's,
on.
That's one of those things. I think that's what they're supposed to be doing. When it's a personal visit,
right?
You're not supposed to be, like, doing anything. You're just going there and hanging out.
Right. We had somebody actually, I think it was It's Just Mickey, she has a lot higher opinion of the SGC than we do.
Oh.
And she's like, surely they have consent form. And I was like, I would never sign a consent form. If I'm going to the Destiny to help them on something, I would never sign a form that says, and penetrative sex is allowable.
Yeah.
And you can't trust if they're wearing condoms. And
yeah. It's definitely iffy. I mean, I would like to hope that I assume there is some sort of consent form, right?
Right.
It's the level to which that is possible, and then the number of different people. Like, because I can imagine maybe there are a few people that are like, sure, I'm completely disease free. I don't care if somebody is like
maybe
you know having sex in my body. But there can't be that many of them. And we've That's seen, insane. Like, 6 or 8 different people.
Right?
So what if, like, this person that thought, you know, if Volker signed up ahead of time and was like, need to go back, visit my mother in the hospital, stop right. by my office at, yeah, you know, UC Santa Barbara.
Right.
Whatever.
That and guy then comes it's, to a decimated body afterwards.
Well, yeah, and then it's actually young. Like,
yeah. Like, how does that airman feel, though? Like, when he comes back, like, Young is punched a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he got pretty seriously hurt while he was trying to fuck with Telford. That poor airman is like, well, now I've got a broken cheekbone.
Yeah, you know? Like, now I'm bruised all over the place, like...
Right.
I was supposed to be playing football for the Air Force team against the Navy this weekend, but that's not happening. Like... Yeah. Anyway, what plot lines are we missing here?
I think that's most of them. I mean, other than Franklin gets a little bit of a bloom, which is nice.
Yeah.
So he's got an ironic worst day than yesterday montage.
Yeah. So then we have the final montage, which is now Eli and Chloe are doing yoga together and Ray is drawing the boat into her drawing.
Doesn't it look like Eli's, like, copy-pasted into that scene? Like, somehow the lighting is not working on his outfit Chloe's.
There's something about his face, too. He looks really like, I'm trying to be completely zen about this, but I think I look
stupid.
It
looks ridiculous. Yeah.
There's a sprout in the hydroponics lab. Yeah. Young is still creeper spying on Rush.
Yeah.
And Park is going to bed with Greer now, which... Nice choice, Lisa.
Right. Well, I don't think that she intended on anything more. I just think that that relationship kind of evolved into more. Because I'm betting Greer kind of doesn't give a shit if he gets blanked or not, and that probably appealed to her.
Well, I also assume, like, that he was just better.
Yeah. Well, did you see how, like, blissed out he was when she, like, made him roll over so she could be on top?
Yeah.
So he was all like, yeah, woman, be in control. I love it.
Yeah.
And
so,
I think that probably appeals to her a lot.
Yeah, so I hope that it's good. And also, I mean, we know he's definitely strong enough to manhandle her if she likes that.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things about him.
I'm going to stop living my career fantasies over here. Fine.
Oh, you know what we did miss before the montage?
What did we miss before the montage?
Young and TJ talking and, bad day. He kind of gets pissy at her he's like, is this my psyche valve? Like, first of all, obviously it's not. And second of all, you're the one who ordered her to do it. You can't be pissy at her about that.
Yeah. Well, and she goes into this very, like, hyper-calming voice. Like, it could be,
yeah.
I'm just trying to talk to you. Cool your shit. Like, yeah. God bless TJ. She is trying so hard to be chill with everybody. And, yeah. You know, Young, just on top of everything else in his life, is super awkward with her because of reasons. So,
but anyway, sorry, back to montage. It's nice. It's like half of it's ironic, right?
Yeah.
Like, I like that Elise Levesque basically had to come to the episode to do 2 shots of her doing yoga.
Yeah. That's true. She's not really around much.
Yeah, but she's pretty big next episode. But anyways, you have kind of like, oh, happiness. Franklin, you know, has a plant. Lisa's getting her thing done. Greer is too. And then Young is watching Russian Paranoia again.
Yeah.
And Spencer is more upset.
Yeah, and Spencer is just laying in bed, unable to sleep.
Yep. And then Scott, also very upset. Worst day since yesterday. Yeah. The end.
Yeah. Poor Scott.
I don't really feel that badly for him.
So, I guess my final thoughts are, let us know how you felt about discussing one through line with a character at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know how well I did in terms of my notes, but I know at least watching it, I ended up making notes that way because...
Yeah, I think that was probably more effective.
Yeah.
Because this episode was too dense.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, if you tried to discuss every cut, you'd be constantly going back and forth and forth and back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I pretty much got all my thoughts out about this episode myself. I think, like, I like it. There's nothing really happens except for all the politics realign to set up the final half of the season is what this whole episode seems to be about.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a little bit of insight into the people whose attitudes are going to be changing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't have anything more to say to you.
Okay. Well, where can they find us on the internets?
On sgupodcast.tumblr.com, where you can ask us any question you want, and we will probably answer it.
And we is usually boom, because I'm the worst.
She has a much more demanding job than I do.
There may be, and I'm gonna just say this, fingers crossed it won't happen, there may be some hiccups in our release schedule, because my demanding job just got a lot more demanding. Yeah. So don't freak out if we miss a week here or there. We still love you, and we still love the show.
And we're still doing it.
We will be back, absolutely.
So bye.
Bye.